What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show here, and hour number two, the phone lines are open. Let's see, 512-248-8252. And let's see, talking to our control room here, we're trying to sort out some tech issues here. Getting on back to the news here, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, in a cabinet meeting yesterday, dubbed Iran the greatest threat to the state of Israel. Yes, we must have war. And said Israel has freedom of action against Iran. Well, let's pull back here to the real world a little bit. Iran is not going to attack Israel because Iran knows Israel has nuclear weapons. Israel is still trying to maintain this nuclear ambiguity. Maybe we have nuclear weapons and maybe we don't, but everybody knows they do. And so, no, Iran is not going to attack Israel. Israel just wants to have Iran destroyed as a regional threat to its power over the entire Middle East. Okay, let's see. The callers are already pouring on in. Peter in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
A couple things, Mike. First off, you were saying that the scars of war are all over Western Europe, and they don't look at it the same way we do because we've been spared that for 100 years. It's even worse in Russia, right?
Yeah.
In their living memory, they lost 28 or 30 million. A lot of them in the Ukraine, and it's even worse for Russia. So do they want a militarized, hostile NATO on their border where they spent 15 million lives kicking the Germans out of? I don't think so. The other point I want to make, Mike, is that it's also come out with this trucker, the dictatorship aspect of the truckers, about how the Canadian secret police and the U.S. secret police, I mean the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, are cooperating to get everything they can on these truckers. And of course, you and I know, and a lot of the audience know, that that could extend to implanting things in their hard drives and and framing them and for, you know, that's just the way they work. And so they're cooperating. They don't want that spreading to the United States.
Too late. I mean, they're already setting up a trucker convoy here in the U.S. It's spreading worldwide. And like I said earlier in the show, I think their fear has nothing to do with the vaccine mandates. It's that, you know, the people of the world are waking up and realizing that they can, in fact, take back their freedoms en masse.
Well, let's hope they can. We hope that they can, and this is the last best chance. But it's by no means certain that that's the case, Mike. Well, let's hope that it works. But these guys, all the power, it just goes to illustrate just how arrayed all of our institutions are against us, and in spite of completely ignoring the Constitution and the law. They have nothing to do. How we're dominated by these billionaire creeps who treat us like the demented 10-year-old with an ant farm. And that's where we're at. And let's hope to God that this works, because I don't think it's a given that it will, but I sure do hope so.
Well, clearly, you know, the authoritarian elements in our society are running scared at this point. You know, everything they do is telegraphing they are afraid. And I know Thomas Jefferson said, when people fear the government, there's tyranny, and when the government fears the people, there's freedom. With all due respect to Mr. Jefferson, I think it's actually when people fear the government, there's tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's even more tyranny. And that's what we're seeing coming down on from the Canadian government.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's pathetic what they're doing to these guys. And just like they've done to everybody, it goes back so far to shooting the Black Panthers in their sleep and stuff like that in the 60s. And they broke nothing, and they haven't forever. That's been going on forever. It's just the way that guys like you and Republic and are putting that out in front of people's eyes. So
yeah.
Anyways, good for you, Mike.
Well, and
that's it for me. I know you got callers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. And let's see, we're going to go to Terry in California. Hello, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, you were talking about Joe Rogan. Well, I was listening to Joe Rogan one night, and he was interviewing Abby Martin. And Abby Martin had just gotten back from a trip to the Middle East, and she was telling all the truth about what was going on in Gaza and the West Bank, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, you know, just this exposing what that all the tyranny and everything that's going on over there. And Joe Rogan was kind of talking to her like, oh, really, and all this. He wasn't refuting her. And I said, this probably doesn't sit well for Joe Rogan. They'll get him in the end. And I see where they were on the way later to get him.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's about it, Mike. But the other thing I wanted to say, it's not going to take too many trucks to shut down Washington, D.C. You know, everything's so close over there. And
oh, yeah. Well, once you're inside the Beltway, it's already a traffic jam.
Exactly. And one last question. Is there anything set up yet to donate with a credit card?
For what, the Canadian convoy or the truck or the American?
RBN. RBN and what really happened before I could do it. But came out with all those updates
link,
and none included a call for a credit card.
There's a PayPal link on the republicbroadcasting.org page, and PayPal canceled me, but apparently RBN's PayPal account is still running as far as I know. So you should be able to donate with
PayPal credit card. We got to go through PayPal instead of just calling up with a credit card then, right?
Well, no, you can call up with a credit card, and that number would be 800-724-2719, extension 3, and they'll take the credit card information that way, okay? You want that number again?
No, it's on your website, right?
Well, it's on the RBN website.
Yeah. Okay, shoot it again for everybody else to hear.
Okay, that number is 800-724-2719, extension 3, and they'll get you taken care of.
Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks an awful lot here, and we're going to go to Miles in Maine. Hello, Miles. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, aloha, Michael. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the Canadians' government fell in love with out of love with the protesters. I mean, during Vietnam, they couldn't wait to get them over there and keep them there, and the draft defectors or whatever they could get. And now, what? They don't like the protesters? I don't know. That's really something.
No, they definitely don't. You know, but again, Trudeau's brother is saying that he is. Basically taking his order from the globalists. And obviously this COVID thing is a globalist operation. And the one thing the globalists are afraid of is a global revolution. And Canada may be the spark for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of really enjoying that, brother. It's nice to get a little bit of fresh thinking from out of there. But I don't know. I think I agree with you. I think they're on the right track. And, yeah, let's have the Trump protest for the illegal invader protest and every other thing going on, since that's the most effective thing that I've seen in many, many years. I mean, I can't...
Well, it's effective, and more importantly, it is peaceful. Okay,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
from the
yeah.
government side. The Canadian government is already resorting to violence. Just as Britain did when Gandhi was doing his non-cooperation thing. The British came in and just, beat up a lot of people, and all they did was they wound up making the British government look bad in the eyes of the world, which is what Trudeau is doing with the Canadian government right now, because everybody's watching what's going on there in Ottawa and realizing that, Canada has devolved into a dictatorship.
And I'm not ordinarily a big fan of Ted Cruz, but it's about time somebody did something. I mean, yeah, there should be, you know, discriminatory practices. There should be fines, and they should just shut him down, really. I mean, they should just shut him down after all this behavior. But this behavior is a long record. I mean, over and over and over, this GoFundMe takes the side of the nefarious actors. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, shut them down. I mean, where's how come we're not having, you know, the likes of Phyllis Lerner looking into them? Or, well, I did hear Black Lives Matter now. They are looking into them a little bit. But, you know, some of these
groups, they're starting to look into them, mostly because the founders basically plundered it all and spent it on themselves. But, you know, you need to look at who owns GoFundMe, and then you start to understand why they have an obvious bias.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael, thanks, and have a great show now.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to David in West Virginia. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
The main thing I called about was media, but there's two small points I'd like to make first. One is you were just talking about the truckers and Give, Send, Go. Has what really happened considered using GiveSendGo?
Well, I'm in the middle of signing up with them, but they are overwhelmed over there, and so it's not active yet, but hopefully it will be sometime this week.
Okay. All right, the other thing is a small point related to what you said about the towing the trucks. You said it's tough because their brakes automatically lock up.
Yeah.
As a former truck mechanic who has towed more than one semi, it's a very simple thing to manually override that lock.
You live and you learn.
It's routinely done when you tow a truck to prevent the brakes from accidentally locking up while you're towing them. The other thing, though, with the media is those of us who are conspiracy theorists often look at a top-down motive for why media give us the slanted stuff they give us. Operation Mockingbird never ended, probably.
No, it never did.
But that's only one reason. That's top down. Because the media, besides trying to please their governmental overlords, they are businesses. They're trying to make money.
Well, they're doing a poor job of it now. I mean, CNN lost 90% of its viewers last year. You know, that's got to be hurting. You know, all these woke indoctrination movies that came out this last year, they all lost a lot of money. DC Comics is, deep in the red ink over their buy Super Kid.
Yeah. But what I'm saying, though, is this will eventually dawn on the media. This may be why Zucker got kicked out.
I think there's more to it than just his having, catching a little on the side with one of his co-executives.
Exactly. I mean, they may be seeing the light. But the other half of it, though, besides the top down, is what I call the bottom up.
Yeah.
And if you are running a business, what do you try to do? You try to please your customers.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work.
The sad truth is media gives a lot of and I need to qualify this, but this probably doesn't apply to the people listening to you, the people who read what really happened. But many people want to hear the slanted stuff that the media spew out in terms of, for instance, America is exceptional. We never do anything wrong. The only reason we invade other countries is to protect people's freedoms.
Yeah.
If, for instance, the Ukrainian border should be inviolate, and if Russia goes in, this is a horrible crime against humanity. Why didn't anybody ask the same thing about Syria's borders?
Or a southern border?
Well, Syria is really a better analogy because this is us occupying a part of Syria, northeast Syria.
Yeah, we're occupying Iraq.
But the point is that people want to hear good things about themselves. And ultimately, the media, what do you call it, legacy media, corporate media, won't correct itself until everyday Joe Sixpack wants to hear the truth, wants to hear the things that the U.S. does that are wrong.
It's already happening. It's already happening. That's why CNN has lost 90% of its viewership since last year, is people realize that CNN is spinning this wonderful fiction, you know, and it's beautiful. It's kind of like the Harry Potter movies, but we know it doesn't really exist.
Well, that's true. But even Fox doesn't, for instance, doesn't talk about the fact that U.S. troops are in Syria illegally. Now, why don't they talk about that? Because people don't want to hear it.
No,
people
it's
don't
because
want to
Fox,
hear that their
it's,
own
it's
country
the,
does
the companies,
things that are wrong.
The corporations that own these media companies don't want the American people to know about it. I have a much greater faith in the American people wanting to know the truth, especially when you're talking about a possible war that their children will be sent off to fight to be killed and crippled in, not to mention the incredible tax burden that war brings.
Well, ultimately, there's no way to quantify it. But all I will say, I guess, is that a certain amount of the reason that everybody from Fox to CNN to MSNBC gives us the rosy picture of the United States that they give us is because that's what their audience wants to hear.
Well, I disagree, and again, I point to that loss in viewership, not just CNN, but all of the legacy media. Their readership and viewership is dropping rapidly, and that's because people realize that as pleasant as the fiction that the corporate media is spinning out, they better start learning what's really going on. Because it's going to impact their lives. Anyway, David, thanks an awful lot for the phone call, and we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hey, just another thing in the news here. The United States is working with Chevron Oil to confiscate Venezuelan crude in order to repay debts owed to
yeah.
the company. And this comes right after Venezuela says that they will assist Russia, I guess, in any conflict or what have you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's more that it's Venezuela will host Russian military bases on their soil.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Russian military
yeah.
bases. Yeah. Yeah. What was that book by a guy by the name of Perkins? Something of an economic hitman. Confessions of an Economic Hitman,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm still on the side of, you know, the protest is good, but I don't think they're going to relent. I don't see it. I think these tin pot dictators, these frauds that are put in through fake ballots, that they take orders from up above, and I don't see Trudeau backing down. I don't see these woke idiots coming around, and so.
Well, I know, considering the fact that he's
better.
Currently hiding out, you know, it doesn't strike me as a man of courage.
Yeah, well, you know, he doesn't have to face the people to do that. He just has to sit on his hands and wait them out. When they deploy the military to try to break it up, that's going to create a rift there. And possibly that's when the dominoes may begin to fall, but I don't see it ending peacefully. We'll see.
Well, fortunately, the Canadian military are saying there are no plans for the military to be used against the protesters. Now, here in the United States, it's illegal for the military to be used against the civilian population. It's called posse comitatus. I don't know if they have something similar to that up in Canada or not, but at least for the time being, the Canadian military is saying, no, they're not going to get involved. There's actually a large number of people within the Canadian military, government, police officers who are sympathizing with the truckers' protest because they're just as sick of the vaccine mandates as anybody else. Okay,
yeah,
Bruce,
I
got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
Welcome back to our show here. And before we get on back to the phone lines, and we have open lines right now, 512-248-8252, I've been informed by Mike in the control room that RBN has set up a new PayPal account. Now, the old one still works, but they're asking if you have set up a recurring monthly gift, you need to basically cancel that old one and reset it up using the RBN donate buttons at republicbroadcasting.org. And if you have some confusion about that, you can call us at 800-724-2719, extension 3, and they'll walk you through the process here. Okay, let's see. We have Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mike, just in response to your earlier reference where you said in the U.S. you have something called the Posse Comitatus.
Yes.
To call out the military. In Canada, it's called the War Measures Act, and it was invoked in 1970 by the putative father of this prime minister, and at that time it was Pierre Trudeau.
Yes.
And his infamous line, at that time journalists actually used to challenge government actions. When he was challenged on what he was doing and how far he would go, Trudeau sneeringly responded, "Just watch me." So that may be part of the reason why this particular regime, and it's not run by Justin Trudeau. He's only the sock puppet. He's only the mouthpiece.
And that's what his brother is saying.
Well, and I haven't been able to find that video or those references, but I believe it, because Alexandra has been really excluded from all of the privileges that this little freak has been able to enjoy, and all the vile things he's done that have been whitewashed. Alexandra, by the way, has also... Yeah, I guess so, yes. I don't know if Hunter Biden has a brother that isn't getting the same privileges, but this Justin has... and again, I still think it's because of who his actual biological father is. He's inherited the genetic predisposition Fidel Castro was an idiot, a complete retard. The one who really won the Cuban Revolution was Che Guevara.
Yes.
And then when he was forced out by Castro, he went to to Africa to help the Africans against oppression. And then they managed to have him murdered there. And I suspect that Fidel Castro was behind that. But anyway, back to the present day. I think what's going to happen with the convoy is they're going to have to find incremental ways of dissembling them, because they don't want to put on a great spectacular event that people can use as an example of why they must rise up around the world. It's going to have to be quiet and incremental. And they've already begun that by trying to starve them and freeze them out of their positions. How that's going to resolve, it's hard to know. Meanwhile, the former leader of the opposition, Aaron O'Toole, I just heard on the program prior to yours, I caught the tail end, somebody was saying that he had been trained by the World Economic Forum, which does not surprise me. Now, he's been ousted by the caucus, which is the shadow cabinet, and he's been replaced by Pierre Poilievre. Now, it's important... Everyone in England or in English pronounces it Poilievre, but it's important to know how it's actually spelled, so you can look up his Twitter announcement that he made on Saturday that he is running to be prime minister. He didn't say leader of the Conservative Party, because the party has not yet established rules for a convention for contesting the leadership. So he just said, I'm running to be the new prime minister. And his last name, it's Pierre, everyone knows how to spell that, Poilievre, Poilievre. If you can find his Twitter announcement, it is absolutely threatening to the establishment everywhere, because what he says is that the government is not your boss, as Trudeau has been acting. The government is your servant. You are the master. The government serves you. Does that sound familiar?
Well, that's what a mature republic is supposed to be. You know, the government obeys the will of the people, not the other way around.
That's the whole concept. But the trouble with Canadians is a vast majority, other than the French Canadians, everyone else has always submitted and adoringly prostrated themselves before the monarchies. And Canada, being a monarchy, still adores its queen. I mean, it just utterly revolts me. It's repulsive.
Yeah, I agree.
It's an absurdity. And first of all, the current monarchs are actually from the line of Saxe-Coburg. They're actually Germans. But during the Second World War, the then king changed the name to the House of Windsor, so it would not be so obvious to the people they were fighting. Going to fight against the very people that were actually ruling over them.
Okay, and well, Layla, I got to put you on hold. We got to take another break for commercials. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. We're finishing up with Layla in Canada. And again, the whole world is watching the trucker convoy. And they're also watching very closely what the Canadian government is doing. And I know it would be nice if the... from the point of view of the Canadian government, they would like to sort of pick away at it and just sort of have it fade. But when you've got 90% of the Canadian people supporting the truckers, I think everything the government does from this point forward to stop the truckers is only going to enrage the Canadian people that much more.
Well, I think you're right that the majority, but I don't know it's as high as 90%, because I have recently spoken to a couple of friends who absolutely blew my mind when they were condemning the truckers. These are people I hadn't spoken to in years, or not many people I talk to anymore in Canada, because we just don't see eye to eye. This is actually a workers' movement. It is the people who are actually suffering. And by the way, one of the ways that Justin Trudeau has avoided exposing his incredible stupidity and his inability to think for himself is that he has prorogued Parliament. That means to shut down Parliament throughout most of the pandemic, and even now he's in hiding, as you know, and he's gone into hiding in his cottage. He won't live in the official residence because it's beneath him. So he has his own cottage, and he comes out, especially throughout the whole pandemic, he would come out at 10 o'clock with a script and he would read a statement, would not take questions, and then would go back into his cottage. And that was it. Then finally, because of the opposition, primarily Pierre Poilievre pushing for accountability, they did have some Zoom meetings. And then eventually they had a little bit of parliamentary meetings in the Parliament House where they had huge distance seating and they would have their masks on. But again, if you go to YouTube, just look up Pierre Poilievre, P-O-I-L-I-E-V-R-E, and Trudeau, and you will see some very intriguing videos because Poilievre is extremely articulate. He's very skilled. He's a finance critic. He's very skilled, and he keeps his cool. He never loses his cool, no matter how much Trudeau looks like he's a rabbit caught in the headlights. It's incredible that the people have put up with it, but I think that's one of the reasons why Canada, first of all, remember, the loyalists that would not join the American Revolution moved up to Canada because they were loyal to the crown. Yeah. And furthermore, all those who have stayed have been loyal to the crown, the queen. And yes, she's conducted herself well. Well, excuse me, the British monarchy has robbed the world of its treasures. That family is one of the richest in the world, if not the richest. So, of course, and this woman that they're saying has been so wonderful, such a wonderful monarch. What is she going to oppose? Everyone who has finally, released themselves from her have done it peacefully and with her consent. And Canada, we pay for her representatives to be in this country, whether or not they do anything. But I won't go into that at this point, except to say that the monarchies control this country, and those who have been allowed into the country as illegal refugees all come from countries where they know how to live under a tyranny and know how to behave quietly under a tyranny. Those who are foreign, obviously in their appearance of foreign origin, are those who have been here long enough and came here seeking the freedom. And when they now see what they left being imposed upon them, the tyranny now coming down on them, they're the ones. That's why you see a lot of Sikhs and some blacks among the convoy, although they won't show their face. So it's just terrifying what is happening. Now, as for Poilievre running as the for the prime ministership, because we don't yet have an official contest underway, the media now is debating whether they should have whether he's being crowned rather than having a legitimate contest. Well, excuse me, there is no legitimate contest. Everything is going to be rigged from beginning to end. We do not have a government. We have an occupied parliament, occupied by the globalists.
Well, join the club.
Yes, exactly. They've done it in collusion together. Everything before they sprung COVID on us, everything was put in place. Any exits, whenever you want to attack a place, what you do is you look around as where are the places where they can escape, what are the weaknesses, and you line up all your contingents of resistance or of imposition of control. And that's what they have been doing for decades. And so finally,
Leila, that can work against a small insurrection, but when you have an entire country rising up, that's a completely different matter entirely. Anyway, Leila, I need to let you go because we have a caller who's calling long distance and this is running up a phone bill for him. So thank you for the call. And we're going to go to Sebastian in Sweden. Sebastian, thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I was thinking about the Russian thing. I've been there three times, and the first time you go there is like from the Department of Defense. It's called you shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
And the second time is, I can't think of the English word. It's called misstank in Swedish. Second time is a suspect, and third time is a spy. And that's the way it's been between America and Russia the whole time. It's like you can't really go there and, First time I went there was 72, second time 81, third time 2001, right?
Yeah.
2001, I was working for a Swedish company for a week there. And then the second time I went with my second wife, and she spoke fluent Russian. She's Finnish, speaks seven languages. And then the first time I just went on an ordinary, just a bus trip because I wanted to see what, who is this, the most powerful country in the world against our nation. And it was completely different. The people were so great. I met a student the first time I was out on the street, and we went to his apartment. He, you know, he had a reel-to-reel tape, and he was playing Elvis Presley songs.
Yeah.
And he liked, and we went out on the, and it was in St. Petersburg. We went, then it was called Leningrad, and we went on the, and they did I think like in New York, you know, the with all the lights and everything. What's it called?
Yeah,
I can't think of it. But anyway, it was like a plaza, and they had They had a huge sign with light bulbs coming on and off, and instead of a Coca-Cola bottle filling a cup, they had the whole revolution from 1917 doing this thing. It was all propaganda, but I was thinking, what, you know, art, the fact that they could do that, instead of a Coca-Cola bottle pouring in a glass, they had the whole Russian Revolution, 1917. But forget about that. It's just artistic created. You know, I was just thinking it's like, it was so... And, but the people, I'm just getting to the people, the very Russian people are just like Americans. And in 2001, on the way out, I was working there a week, and I met an actor, and they had they were doing a explosion scene. You were like that at the border between Russia and Finland, with the car turning over, and that's what delayed us about 8 hours. So we were in the customs, you know, we were talking to the actors, and most of them spoke English, you know, besides Russian, and they were really great people, and I just can't see
They teach
Americans.
English in the Russian schools. You know, pretty much everybody in Russia has a good grasp of English.
Yeah, I know that. The first time I went in 72... I had a translator with me, and I asked, there was a little guy, he wanted chewing gum, because there was no chewing gum in Russia at that time. So I gave him some, and the translator told me, she said, he knows all the American presidents, and he named them all out. And they know, they learn history. They don't, it's not, it's, they just, I don't know, they're just a good people. And I can't think of anyone wanting to fight against the Russian people. I mean,
well, you know, that's why the propaganda is going to have to demonize them and make them look like they're really terrible people who need to be erased from the planet. I mean, every war is the same way. You know, you dehumanize the enemy, whether you... you know, in World War II, you know, called them Japs. In Vietnam, you called them gooks. And, you know, that's part of the dehumanization process. when I was working in Europe, I got snowed in at the Frankfurt airport with an Aeroflot crew. And there was one guy who was kind of not comfortable with me being from the United States, but the rest of the crew were really good. And I remember the captain of the airliner, his son wanted to be a cosmonaut. And I had a bunch of my old NASA pins on the outside of my little carry case, and I just gave them to him and said, give these to your kid. And, they're great people. Everywhere I've gone in the world, people by themselves, they're really good people. And it's only the leaders who are these sociopathic monsters who have dreams of glory and seven generations from now, school children will be forced to memorize their names and they live to see their face on a postage stamp. And ordinary people are really very good. And one of the things I like about Santa Claus is the people around here are just really great.
Yeah, I know. When I was there, I went when last time the second time I was there with my second wife, we went to Moscow, and it was a New Year's Day, you know, New Year's Eve, or, and then we were invited to a we met a couple in a like a discotheque sort of, and then he invited us to a ice hockey match. And it was minus 30 degrees, and we went there. We thought it was inside, but it was outside. And they were playing ice hockey outside, and I said, oh, no wonder there's so good ice hockey players. They had this, you know, it was so, it was really, it was an experience, you know. And, I kind of, reflecting back, it's they were great people. I mean,
that's been my experience too.
I've been working with Muslims in Sweden, and they're great people. The ones I've been working with, and I've been working with all kinds of people, you know. And it just depends on the person. It's not the where they come from or whatever, their race or color, creed.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, Sebastian, I hate to do this to you. I know you waited a long time to get on here, but we're getting close to the end of the show, and I got a bunch of calls.
Okay.
To try and
you
get
take
through,
care.
Sir.
You take care and clear.
I will. Same to you. Thank you for the call. We're going to go to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Mike, one thing is what's going on with the truckers. This is what we're seeing is very, very close, I think, to a possible revolution there in France. The police can't do anything. They want, evidently, some of the leaders want to, like in Ottawa, they can't. They don't have, and they're calling now. They need military help. I think if Trudeau calls in the military, that might be his undoing. That might be. You might actually see an overthrow of the government then. Because
You might. I mean, you know, you can't have 90% of the population disagreeing with what you're doing and maintain control. And that applies to Canada, applies to anywhere, and even applies to here in the United States.
Oh,
and,
of course. If you notice, if you look at history, a revolution is not a bunch of intellectuals or a bunch of oligarchs. They may try to cause a revolution, but they don't succeed. A revolution succeeds if you got the working class behind you.
Exactly.
An example would be actually the start of the Soviet Union. If you look at Trotsky,
or the French Revolution, or the American Revolution.
So with Trotsky was an intellectual, and he had a bunch of it. And Stalin was a man. He was a he came from more of a peasant class, and people united behind him, not behind Trotsky, because again, he represented a working class, and he was not an intellectual himself, and that's what usually happens. People just don't understand that. It's not going to be. A revolution is not going to be done by the upper class. They think they're the ones that are going to wind up either beheaded, hung, or whatever else happens in these cases.
Well, I mean, you know, the upper class doesn't want a revolution because the system is working for them. That's what makes them upper class and keeps them upper class. And the whole idea of a revolution, the reason they call it a revolution, is it flips society over. So the people who were on top are now on bottom, and the people who were on the bottom are now more or less on top. And, it follows a familiar pattern. And, again, the thing I most admire about the trucker convoys is that they are peaceful. They're not doing anything illegal. I mean, you know, compare that to the Black Lives Matter riots here in the United States, where everything was being set on fire. And they're doing it the right way.
But see, you take something like Antifa or BLM, even more Antifa. Antifa is a phony. Or they make believe they're revolutionaries when they're really paid mercenaries of the FBI, the CIA, and, of course, the political establishment. And you're seeing it even now in Canada. I understand they've launched some attacks on truckers and all that.
They're trying to provoke the truckers into fighting back, and the truckers are smart enough to realize They can't do that. So they're, you know, it's like that Antifa guy who rammed into their convoy. And there are definitely agents provocateurs out there trying to get something going that the media can use to demonize them. But after calling them anti-Semites and white supremacists and, you know, anti-trans and anti-everything, I mean, Trudeau was just covering all the bases. Anything bad he could think of, he was calling the truckers. And the Canadian people are just not buying it. Anyway,
no,
listen, Mark.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the phone call here. Sorry to cut you off. We're going to skip the break and try and get these last few calls in before the end of the show. Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, with these trucks and the food, I mean, people are kind of, we got to look on all sides of what's going on here with these truckers and whatnot. So Canada spawns this trucking debacle, if you will, as far as the Canadian government is concerned. And now you got it going on in Australia. We're talking about organizing one here in the United States and whatnot.
Yep.
But what exactly was the plan for that vaccine passport to get across the north-south border? It was to knock off all of the, to either get everybody to get the shot or to shut down the supply chain. So inadvertently, all of these truckers are shutting down the supply chain. Now, you wouldn't know that that's a problem right now because all these people who are following the convoy and whatnot and setting up in cities and stuff, they all have van loads of food. They're there. They're ready to go. Let's get this on. Come on, let's do this. But who's got the staying power if they just do nothing? I think it would be stupid for Trudeau to even order the military to go out there because the truckers are doing exactly what they wanted them to do. I mean, so, and that's why I heard some talk about that this was agent provocateur pushed from the get-go. You know, and then people picked it up simply because the whole idea was to shut down the supply chain. And Canada relies on a lot of stuff from the United States, and so do we.
Yes,
we rely on some stuff. Yeah. And so shutting this down, and now everybody, think about it. Think about if this thing gets off in the United States. Think about what it's already doing in Australia. All these trucks are taken out of service of normal routes that they would normally pick up stuff and deliver to normal places where we would normally buy this stuff.
That's where the truckers have got their strength. They're capable of shutting the entire system down.
But that's the point. That's what the government wants them to do. They couldn't do it without the truckers, to be honest with you. That's why they brought down these vaccine mandates. That's why they brought down these passports. That's why they brought it all down.
I disagree. I don't think the government deliberately wants the supply chain collapse because that's going to provoke more civil unrest.
Which is what they really want. They want us fighting amongst ourselves.
If the government collapses the supply chain, the unrest is going to be the people against the government, and the government doesn't want that.
All right, and you know what? I like that spirit, Mike, and with that, I'm going to let you go because you got other calls. Thank you, sir.
Yes, I do, and thank you very much for the call. We're going to go to Tom in Baltimore. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Michael, I was a little surprised that you praised Bill Maher for his film, Religulous. Tell me, what exactly did you like about that film?
I thought it was a very fresh look at the phenomenon of religion.
So you support bald-faced bigotry? Because that's what the film was practicing.
Well, I didn't get that impression.
Even the title itself denigrates anybody who's a member of any religious organization.
Well, if you know anything about my background, you know that I'm not a religious person. And, I had ancestors who were much abused by organized religion back in the 1490s. And when I was in college, I had a girlfriend who was seriously abused by a group called the Children of God.
And I'm sorry that you went through that, but that's a specious argument at best. Let's continue this tomorrow or later in the week.
That'll be fine. And thank you for the call. And we're going to go to Steve in West Virginia. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, real quick, I got two quick points. The first one is it sounds like, I know Andy's a good guy, but it sounds like he wants a revolution with no sacrifice. So, That's just my take on what he said. But anyways, what I really want to get to, Mike, real quick here is Layla. Layla, beautiful call. She was on the money with all her points about the crown, the British crown, and how in the type of people they want to come into these countries. They're Indians and Chinese that are really passive and just do what they're told. They're used to being under rule from these monarchies and stuff, and these people. I mean, I've been to India. They're the most passive people I've ever met in my life. They follow every rule. They don't even think about breaking rules. And the Chinese are a lot of the Chinese are the same way. And those are the two biggest groups coming into our country. And Canada are the Indians and the Chinese. So she's on the money, man. She's a smart lady. The crown, I'll tell you something, Mike, you know from my calls about going to Italy and going to Europe all the time, I've been to, I think, 13 countries in Europe. I will never set foot in the UK because I just can't stand the monarchy and the crappy government they have. And I won't take any of their airplanes, even if they're half price, British Airways or any of them. I hate that country. Anyways, Mike, I'll let you go. Take care.
Okay, well, you know, I think we need to delineate between, hating a particular political system and the people who occupy it and not spread that out to hating the entire country, because I've been to Great Britain and was work-related, and, I got to visit the Tower of London and the British Museum, which, yes, I understand the British Museum was filled by looting treasures from a lot of other countries around the world. But ordinary people were very, very nice there. And I think we need to basically make that distinction. When we, you know, that's why I don't let people bash, Israel as a whole, okay? Because the Israeli people themselves, are fine. It is their government. And it's likewise, you have other countries that are bashing America. Well, most Americans are decent people. It's just the government that is, committing these war crimes and invading and, interfering with other people's countries. And we need to just keep that in mind, that what we're debating here is not the people of different nations, but the government of different nations and how they're misbehaving. Anyway, we're coming up on the end of the program here, so stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is going to be taking the microphone tonight, and he's going to have a lot of interesting things to share with you. Please get out on social media. We're really trying to build our audience to reach more people. So get out on social media. Post links to republicbroadcasting.org. Post links to whatreallyhappened.com. This is a call to Rivero's Rangers to help us spread the word. Please continue to donate. And we thank you very much for those of you who have donated. So we'll be back tomorrow. And aloha, America.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Mm-hmm. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.